Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Verses 1 through 3, and I know that I'm preaching to a lot of people, especially those that are in this building and most of our viewers today online. I'm talking to people that know what it means to be planted, know what it means to put down roots. But this is the thing, church. I want us to get further planted, because the deeper the roots, the taller we grow, the stronger we are, the deeper the roots, and the more we tap in to what's below the surface, the more fruit that we are going to have. When you have more fruit, not only are you blessed, but remember, church, we are blessed to be a blessing. And so the more fruit we have, God says, not only am I going to supply your needs, but I'm going to supply your needs in such a way, come on, somebody, that you're able to give, you're able to sow, you're able to bless your neighbors, your neighborhood, your coworkers, whoever it may be. And so we're talking about in our series, second session in the series, Planted. And our subtitle would be Fruit in Every Season. If you're watching today, I want you to type that out. I want you to hit enter. I want you to write that down in your notes. Fruit in every season. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, he's excited about being in the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he meditate day and night. Somebody say fanatical. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf will not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. I'm preaching for the next few moments on the subject, planted, fruit in every season. You may be seated. I encourage you, and I need to do a better job of encouraging you to be a note taker, to take down notes. And one of the ways that millennials and those that are technologically advanced and savvy, you can take notes just by tweeting out, by posting, because that's going to be up there forever, and you can always recall on these things. But there's a lot of you that are still writing longhand. I don't care how you do it. Open up the notes on your iPhone, and let's type out. Why? Because there's some things you hear today that you're going to be like, oh, that's good, but you don't need it now, so you don't really shout about it. But 2 months from now, 2 years from now, you might go back to that and say, wow, God, that word didn't mean a lot to me in April of 2020, but it means a lot to me now. And so I encourage you to take good notes, go back to those notes, and allow God to just ignite something within you. Our last session, just to catch everybody up, we started John 10, verse 28, and we started talking about being planted. Being planted is so important, but where you are planted is even more important. Because if you were to go to any of the home box stores, Lowe's or Home Depot, if you were to go even to HEB, Tractor Supply, out in front of those stores, they have fruit trees and shade trees, and they are planted, but they are planted in these little pots. And so they are planted, but they can still be moved. And there's a lot of, oh, I'm going to preach. I just feel it. There's a lot of people watching today that you say, Pastor, I am planted. And you might be planted, but you are planted the wrong way, or you are planted in the wrong place. Because when we talk about being planted in the hand of God, we are talking about being unmovable, being steadfast, no matter what winds come our way, no matter what is going on around us. We don't fall. We don't falter. We don't cave in to the demands of society and the world that we live in. When I talk about being planted, I'm talking about that somebody cannot just walk by and uproot you, that they would literally have to get a bulldozer to push you down. But I do believe there is a place that we can get in God, that no matter what happens, the devil can bring the biggest equipment that he has against you. But you can get your roots, and you can be established so far into the things of God that it doesn't matter what comes against you, because you've got a great power and spirit on the inside of you. So this is what John 10:28 says, and I've given unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. It is our goal as believers to put ourselves in the hand of God and to be planted in that hand. I love the local church. I love Living Way. There is no place in the world like Living Way. For the last 21 years, I've been preaching all over the United States, and I've preached into some great churches. I've preached at some great conferences. I've shared the platform with great men and women. But let me just tell you, Living Way family, there is no place like home. When I come in this side door on a Sunday morning, and this place is rocking, and this place is rolling, and this praise team is taking us in, and everybody's worshiping from the front to the balcony, and this altar fills up. There is no way. I've been to NBA final games. I've been to WrestleManias with 105,000 people, but there is nothing and no place like Living Way Church. And I know I've got pastors and bishops watching today, and I hope you feel the same way about your church that we do about our church. There's nothing like the local church. So I want to encourage you, I beg you, I implore you, I beseech you that when the regulations are lifted, if you don't have a home church, find a home church. Find a home church that preaches the word of God unadulterated. Find a church that lets you worship like God commands us to worship with lifted hands and loud voices. Make sure that you go to a church where the preacher is excited about what he's saying, that it's not just another discourse and it's not like a professor teaching in college, but I loved Bishop on Wednesday night, and he started off talking about it. And by the end of Wednesday night, he was preaching like what he talked about. Abraham Lincoln said, I want a preacher that looks like he's fighting bees when he preaches. I want to go to a church that people are excited from the front to the back about what is going on. Find you a church when you can, when everything goes back to how it should be, that has an altar call that allows you to approach God and say, God, I want to change today. I love the local church. However, we have proven that the church the last 6 weeks is not confined to a building, that the church of the living God is a people, that you watching here today on the other side of this TV camera, that you are the church. The Bible says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, that you house the greatest power? Let me talk to somebody today. I know you wish you could have been here and have Rachel sing you to that happy place, but I am here to tell you that you might not sound like Miss Rachel, but every time you open up your mouth in praise, God, he treats you like you sound like Rachel, because every time a praiser praises, God shows up. Can I remind you who you are? You might not be able to preach like Bishop Jakes. You might not be able to speak and put syllables together like some of these great men and women, but every time you open up your mouth and the Holy Ghost comes out of you, you get God's attention. You get every angel's attention. You make the devil run out of your life and every demon flees and cowers in the corner. Why? Because you are the church. You don't just go to church. I love the church, but you are the church. See, when we talk about being planted at Living Way or the local church that you go to, that is secondary. What you need to be more concerned with, am I planted in God's hand? Am I established on the foundation and the rock that is Jesus Christ? I'm not sweating it. I'm praying for our country. I'm praying for a cure. I'm praying for a vaccine. I'm praying for our doctors. I'm praying for our president and all of our leaders. But at the end of the day, when I go to Seguin, Texas, and I close the gate of my property and I go back to my house, I am living the blessed life because I realize I am not established in the U.S. first. I'm established in the government of Jesus Christ. I am in his palm, and the only way that I can leave his palm is for me to jump out. Don't jump out the boat. Don't jump out of the plane. I was set to skydive about 10 years ago, and I was looking for an excuse to cancel. But Tyler at that age, he was 5 or 6, he thought it was cool that dad was going to jump out of a plane, and it was set up through one of our friends, and so there's going to be a lot of celebrities and local celebrities. and it was going to be a big deal, and it was going to be on TV, and I was looking for a way out. And thank God, how many of you know when you're looking for a way out, God will provide one? Pastor Becky got to me the day before I was supposed to go jump out of the plane, and she played the old mama guilt trip. She said, "Now, Brandon, why would you go and jump out of that plane when you've got a little boy and a little girl at your house that need a dad?" Not saying that I was going to die. She's just saying there's a better chance that you don't live jumping out the plane. Don't you know that you've got a church that is dependent on you? Don't you know that you've got a wife that doesn't want to be a widow and raise these two children by herself? And I'm thinking, oh, Mandy would be married like in a year if something happens to me. She'd have all that insurance money. And so Pastor Becky didn't even have to get to the fifth reason. When she said, "Brandon, don't you know," I was already in my mind, "Mama, you're right. I'm not going to jump out the plane." There's a lot of us that the enemy's telling us to jump, jump. That's exactly what he did to Jesus. Come on now. He couldn't shove Jesus because Jesus is all powerful. But every time he tempted Jesus, this isn't even in my notes, this is for somebody watching today. Every time he tempted Jesus, what he was really saying was jump. I can't make you, so I'll try to get you to make the decision on your own. I'm here to tell you, church, we are blessed. God has you in the palm of his hand. Don't jump out. Don't leave now. Some of you are waiting for a prime moment to leave, and I'm here to tell you, it's about to get good. Don't you know, man, I wish the church hadn't been shut down for 6 weeks. We haven't been shut down. We've been reaching more people with Jesus than we ever have before. Well, I wish, come on, the church has never slowed down. The church is, let me tell you something, I cannot wait. The Sunday we open up these doors is going to be like Easter on steroids. It's going to be a great day. Don't check out now. Your best is next. Your best days are in front of you. Don't leave the palm of the hand of Jesus. He's got you. Don't let the enemy trick you into jumping or leaving out of his hand. Turn to your neighbor or type it out and say, "I'm planted. I'm planted." When I plant, when you plant yourself in God's hand, we surrender ourselves to God's will. See, that's one of those small print things that takes a lot of people out, because a lot of people want to live in God's hand and live the way they want to. They want to be planted in God's hand, and God pays their bills, and God provides healing, and God does this and God does that, yet they still want to live on their own terms. Can I tell you that when you come to Jesus and you plant yourself in God's hand, you surrender to his will. And I'm going to tell you, God has never done anything lesser than for me. Everything that I gave up, God multiplied and brought it back to me. Anything that I was sad about sacrificing, God said, "Hold on. In 6 months, what you're doing now is going to make sense." I'm encouraging somebody today that says, "Man, this sacrifice thing is tough." Sacrifice is tough, but I promise you, if you can stay connected and stay plugged in for the next few months and next couple years of your life, everything you sacrifice, come on, listen to this word, everything you sacrifice becomes seed sown, and every seed has a harvest. And if you knew what God had planned in 2021, you would gladly sow it today. But the devil wants to make you think it's a sacrifice. It's not just a sacrifice, it's seed sown. And you got something bigger and better coming as a result of what you're putting in the ground today. Somebody say yes. Somebody say dig in. Ephesians 6:15. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Find the right place to be planted. Get planted and stay planted. We talked about no root equals no fruit. You cannot complain about a lack of fruit in your life if you have not done what it takes to produce a root in your life. You've got to be planted in the right places. There's the parable of the seed, and some fell on rocky ground, and some fell by the wayside, and some fell in the places that were choked out by the weeds. And there was some that fell into good ground, and the good ground produced 100-fold. Can I encourage you? You need to get planted, but you need to plant in the right place. Because if you plant yourself in that hard, stony, choking soil, you're never going to produce roots. You're just going to grow up. And because you don't have any depth, I'm talking to somebody today, it's more than just being able to quote a couple scriptures. It's more than just going to church or tuning in to a church service once a week. Listen, Sundays are important, but Mondays are just as important. Thursday afternoons at 4:30 p.m. are just as important. And so where you get planted matters, because where you are planted and where you choose to plant determines whether you are going to be able to put down roots good enough to produce the fruit that God has called us to produce, or the fruit that we desire in life. It is God's will. This is where we left off last session. It is God's will for us to produce fruit in every season of our life. We must be planted and we must be producing. Let's go to Matthew chapter 21, verse 18. While you're turning there, we must be planted and we must be producing. The only reason that we are planted, and God was really rolling some new things in my spirit as I was preparing for this week. A lot of times we look at the reason I'm planted is so that I can stand firm, stand tall, stand steadfast. And that is key in life, not falling down because every wind blows us around. And so being able to stand and not be knocked around or knocked down is important. But the real reason, church, that we are planted is so that we can produce fruit. And so if you are planted, but you're not producing fruit, then you are not doing it right. You are planted in the wrong place, or you've allowed something to come in and to prevent you from producing what God has given you the ability to produce. Matthew chapter 21, verse 18. Now in the morning, as Jesus returned from the city, he hungered. And just that right there, let me just point this out. It has nothing to do with what I'm going to say, but it tells you the humanity of Jesus. All God, but all man. He's on this earth and he's hungry. I mean, he was wanting that raisin cane sauce, a couple chicken tenders. I don't know, Brother Vail's running this camera that you're watching at right now, and he always gets on to me for preaching about food. It's been a while since I preached about food, I guess since there's nobody in the building, but Jesus was wanting some of that cane sauce. Jesus was wanting some enchiladas. He was ready to eat. And so when he was hungry, he saw a fig tree in the distance, in the way, the King James says. And he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only. And he said unto it, he cursed it, saying, let no fruit grow on thee henceward forward, check this out, forever. And presently, immediately, one translation says, the fig tree withered away. Before I get to any more of what I want to talk about today, can I tell you that God is hungry for something today, even now, 2020? And what he hungers for is that his believers and his disciples would be fruit-bearing and produce in every season of their life. And so when Jesus saw the fig tree back 2,000 years ago, fast forward to where we are now, and God is looking in your life, and God is looking in my life, and he's saying, I have given you everything to succeed in life. I have given you breath in your body. I've given you the mobility of your limbs. I have given you creativity. I have set you apart. I have anointed you. I've even given you my spirit. And so after all of this giving, when God is hungry for fruit and he looks at me and finds none, he says, what is going on when I've given you everything you need to bear fruit and yet here you are fruitless? You're planted, but you're fruitless. Wow. You're planted, but you're fruitless. He saw the fig tree a long way off and he went. He went after all of the distance. He saw the fig tree. Now, when you see a fig tree, we've got some fig trees in some of our places. They've got leaves on them like elephant ears. They're huge leaves. So Jesus, from a long way off, saw the leaves. And he made the assumption that where there are leaves, there is fruit. Went out of his way because he was desiring something from that tree, that he showed up to where the tree was. And when he pulled back the leaves, he found them to be fruitless. Come on, somebody. That means they looked the part, they walked the part, they talked the part. Everything about them looked fruitful, But when he got up in their grill and began to roll back the layers of their life, he's saying, man, you can quote John 3:16 backwards and forwards. Man, you're all about Ephesians 3:20 and Matthew 6:33, and you're all about favor is fair, and you're all about the blessings of God, and you talk all of these nice church cliches, and you can high five, and you know Jerome's handshake, and all of these things. But when I get to the real you, what I found out is you were all talk and no fruit. You're planted, listen to this, you're planted, which allows you to grow just enough that you stay alive, but you don't bear fruit. Peels the leaves back. He sees there's no fruit. Jesus got mad. I love that Jesus, all God, all man, I love that Jesus got mad. You say, no, that's not what I see. Listen, Jesus doesn't have an English accent. Jesus is not a pushover. Jesus is not a wuss like they have portrayed. Sometimes Jesus went into the temple. He flipped over tables. He chased people out with a whip. Jesus was a bad dude. Bible says, be angry, but sin not. It's okay to get drunk. Jesus got mad, didn't say anything else. Didn't say, I'm going to give you another year, another 6 months, another 6 weeks. Jesus said, that's it. You had your chance. And now because I came to you when I needed fruit and you did not have anything to offer, the Bible says he cursed the tree and said, from here forward forever, you will not be able to produce fruit. So why did Jesus curse the fig tree? Valid question that will be answered. But the bigger question is not why did Jesus curse the fig tree? It's why was there a tree planted that had enough nutrients to produce leaves and had enough nutrients to give off the vibe that I am a fruitful thing? Why is it that a planted tree refused to produce fruit? Come on, Pastor, I'm trying. Don't try, do. Come on, Pastor, if you knew what I was going through, listen, your excuse is not valid because somebody with a set of circumstances worse than you have it still chooses to produce fruit. I know I might be stepping on toes today, and I got my amen corner, says to Tanya, rooting me on from the front seat. And you know what I love about online church? I can't hear the oohs and the ouches and the ugh, and I don't see you just staring back at me. And let me tell you, don't turn it off. Don't go to somebody else's live stream. You need to hear this today, that some of us have everything we need to produce fruit, and God is still wondering why you are complaining about not being able to produce fruit when you have everything you need. Pastor, if I could just get 60 minutes of your time. Listen, we can talk about getting some time together, but why would you want 60 minutes of my time when you've got 24 hours a day, 365 days a week? This year, 366 days in the year. This dispensation of time, you that are quarantined and locked down at home, you've got all this time alone. Instead of taking an hour and a half bubble bath and having some alone mommy and daddy time, how about you get in the Word of God, turn on some Jesus culture, some worship music, and say, God, I'm going to put something in me so that when I need fruit, I don't have to go somewhere else. I can just pick one off the branch of my life. Why? Because I'm planted. I'm planted. Somebody say amen. Somebody type ouch. Got just a few minutes left here. Let's go. Let no fruit grow thee. He curses it. Henceforth, forward from forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. Jesus cursed the fig tree. Why did he do it? The bigger question is, why is there a tree that is planted not producing valid fruit? Jesus cursed the fig tree for three reasons. I'm going to jump into this as quick as I can. Pastor Becky, if you'll come. Jesus cursed the fig tree, number one, because it was out of order and because the process that the fig tree was operating in was backwards. Check this out. When you look at a fig tree, and I know this not because of what I've read, I know this because we have fig trees. When a fig tree produces figs, guess what comes first? The figs, not the leaves. And so when Jesus sees the leaves, my God, that's a preach. The normal assumption is if there is leaves, there has to be fruit. Because the fruit comes first and then the leaves. Can I talk to somebody today that, listen, beyond your worship style and beyond how you get the Word of God and how much you communicate and how much you amen And beyond all of that, before, and I know that there's the old saying that you got to practice what you preach. No, I want you to preach what you're already practicing. A lot of us have got it backwards and we're out of order. Can I let you know that God wants to do something in your life, that God wants you to produce fruit, and you say, well, I need to get my life right. No, you don't. You need to get to Jesus. Jesus will get your life right. Your life will follow your fruit. Your fruit won't follow your life. Your life will follow your fruit. See, when I got planted, man, I became fruitful. And that fruitfulness began to fall over into my marriage, fall over into my family. See, a lot of us are trying to get everything right to produce fruit, when what you need to produce fruit is to get planted. Put your feet down on the things of God. And so when I see this out of order, I automatically think of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. There's two things that I want to just talk about real quick. We must do things in order chronologically. There's a lot of us that have gotten the cart before the horse, and we wonder why we're not moving forward. Well, Pastor, when my marriage gets right, I'm going to come to church. Your marriage will never be right until you come to God first. Well, I'm going to get my kids. I'm going to get my kids on board. And when I get my entire family on board, we're really going to sell out to God. No, 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 honey. Sell out to God now, and your family will follow. Well, when I get my money, I've got a lot of debt right now. When I get my money right, and when I get out of debt and I don't have any of those things weighing me down, I'm going to start tithing and giving and supporting the kingdom and supporting the church. I'm here to tell you, you might get out of debt, and you'll get right back into debt. You're looking at a man who's been out of debt like five times, only to do what? Go right back into debt. 2 years ago, driving a seven-year-old truck, wrecked that truck, and I started looking for used trucks on the car lot. And I talked to Bishop, and Bishop says, oh, I'll just buy you a new truck. Don't mess with them old used trucks. And so I went right back into debt. 7 years debt-free, right back into debt on that truck. I'm here to tell you right now, get your life in order. Get planted, produce fruit, and watch your life follow your fruit, not your fruit follow your life. Watch your life follow. Come on. We must do things in chronological order. We must operate in order, meaning you're able to function properly. One of the worst things that happens is try to use the machine that is out of order. What it does, it eats your dollar bill. You get mad. Because it took something from you without investing something back in. And see, God is looking for people that he can invest in. Come on, somebody. He can invest in, and that they're going to be able to bring something back to the table. Can I encourage you? Ministry is different than relationship. I minister to people knowing that it's going to be a one-way street from me to them, but God will make it up to me. But in relationship, relationships are short-lived in my life. If I find out that it's a one-way street, I want to be able to invest in you, and I want you to be able to invest in me. And so to be able to produce fruit, you've got to do it in order. Get your spirit in order. Come on. We always say God can't bless a mess. I've heard that all of my life. God can't bless a mess. No, he can. God can do anything. It's not that God can't bless a mess. God won't bless a mess. So get your house in order. Get your marriage in order. Come on, I saw your kids acting crazy at HEB. Get your kids in order. You say, well, they're just 4 years old. Four-year-old crazy kids at HEB turn out into 18-year-olds that are in the Bexar County Jail because you thought it was cute at four, and then it was a problem at 12, and then by the time they were 16, they were out of control, and 18, they're now the state's problem. Get them in order. Get your money in order. Manage it. Don't let it manage you. Get your vision in order. Get vision and provision. There it is, chronological. There's a lot of things in your life. There's so many things I want to get into, but I want you to stand on your feet today. But I want to end with this word. Mandy and I, we moved into a house we built 6 months ago today. 6 months ago today. October 26th. It's been great 6 months. It's been fun. We had a storage unit for a year. You've heard me preach about the ills of storage unit. I wish I had that $4,000 back. Because about two-thirds of that storage unit ended up right in the trash. Why did we keep this? Why did we store this? trashed it, goodwilled it, gave it away, sold it. We just didn't need it. But for the other third that remains, it's been in my garage now for 6 months. And every day I look at that and I look at it and say, I should do something about this. And then I say, I will do something about this. And so yesterday we had a hailstorm move through. And I'm thinking, I've got my new truck out here and I got all this hail. I just built a house with an oversized garage so I could park my F-250 in the garage, and I can't put it in because I got junk taking up valuable space in my life, and my life is cluttered. My life is a mess. And so now the valuable things are going to be damaged. Come on, somebody. If I don't make room and get my life, my house in order. It's funny. I've been making excuses the last 6 months why I can't clean the garage. And for the last 6 weeks, I've been quarantined saying I can now clean the garage, and now Goodwill's shut down. Got too much to take to the trash. So now I've got the other excuse. Let me encourage you, you're always going to have excuses. Rise above the excuses. I hope by the end of this week, I can post a picture of my clean garage with my truck inside the garage. God can bless a mess. God won't bless a mess. You know what he blesses? The planted. Those that are in order, those that are coming to God saying, God, before I get my life right, I'm coming to you. I'm going to plant myself down in you, and I'm going to produce fruit. And out of that fruit that I produce by being planted, my life will follow my fruit. Praise God. I'm talking to somebody today that maybe you don't know who Jesus is. Maybe everything that I've talked about today, it comes off as parables, and it comes off as fables, and it comes off as stories. I want to tell you everything that I've talked about today, the words of Jesus that I just spoke, that was from a real man that lived. Some called him Rabbi. Some called him master. Some called him teacher. But I'm here to tell you, I call him the Son of God. I call him my Savior. He came to this earth. He died. He lived. He rose again just for us. He said, if you'll accept me into your life, that's that John 10 and 10 I talked about. He said, I'll give you eternal life. And he said, I'll give you abundant life. If you've never said yes to Jesus, or perhaps your yes has grown silent, your yes has grown cold, I'm speaking to you today, and I want to encourage you, turn your life over to Jesus Christ. Invite Jesus into your heart, your mind, your spirit will forever be changed. Say, how do I do that? It's very simple. I love that God made a way for us to call on his name without being in a church building. That we don't have to be in a specific place, a specific time, but that anytime we need him, we can call on his name. So that's what we're going to do right now. So I encourage you to lift your hands. That just means I surrender. And I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I love you. I need you in my life. I've made mistakes. I failed. I have sinned. But today, I believe you are forgiving all of my sin. You're taking away all of my past, and you're covering it in your blood. Lord, I believe that you are the Son of God and the only way to get to heaven. I receive you as my Savior, and I will spend the rest of my life making you my Lord. From this day forward, I will plant myself in your hand. Speak to me, touch me, love me, encourage me. I'm saved because of you, Jesus. Amen and amen. You know what that means? You are a child of God right now. There is a party in heaven. The Bible says that heaven rejoices over one sinner who